Welcome back to Sports Central, and in particular, the new season lawn bowls segment, when never is there too much lawn bowls. I'm Rick Drewer, and this is the one and only...
Phil Fechner. How was that, Pete? Peter Lukat? Bit of a new intro there for us, so I know Pete always likes our intros.
Yeah, well, Pete, I've been practicing for you.
He told us not to change it, though, but it's just this week, Pete, so hang with us. Yeah, just a little bit of bowls news. Back by popular demand. Highest rating bowl show in South Australia.
I've heard it's even the highest ranking segment on Sports Central.
I'll make some rubbish up here quickly, Rick, and we'll head into it.
Yeah, what's different?
Quickly, Rick. Sunday had a good hit out, a round robin format at Woodville Bowling Club. Us being Paynham, Modbury, and Woodville, obviously, and Lockleys were the four teams. So they just played each other, had a bit of a hit out, was really good. We rotated a lot of players through. We had about five or six on the sideline, so it was good.
Did you get out on the green?
Certainly did. I played all three, so that must mean that they played the guys that aren't practicing and, you know, aren't that bloody good. So I got the three games.
Well, it could be that they are very worried about your position and saying whether you can just...
Not being a selector this year, I'll right. tell you what, I am. It's quite easy to get a game last year, Rick. And anyhow, so that all went pretty well. So, look, I won't go and try and do all the signings down in town, Rick. It's ridiculous how many people change clubs and, you know, all of that during the off-season.
Well, money speaks all languages,
doesn't it? There is a little bit of money around down there. And, like, my salary has got a lot of zeros, Rick.
Is that
right? Yeah, a lot of zeros. I'm just waiting for a number in front of the zeros, that's all.
All right.
Yes, there is money around down in bowls. It's unbelievable.
So you're not prepared to talk about the club that you told me is offering people?
No. I won't mention
that. Okay.
I won't mention Holdfast. Okay.
Or 30,000.
Okay. Look, I will say just a couple welcomes on behalf of our club, a couple new players. We have several others down in our second team and third team. But Alan Hurst into our top side, and a signing that we late signing was Brad Peck from ex-Tanunda Skip. Had a year off last year, got himself married and lovely little daughter, and he's moved to town, and I was lucky enough to pick up young Bradley. So we welcome them to Paynham Bowling Club. Quickly, Rick, just on the local Barossa scene.
Yes.
I'm going to need a little bit of feedback from, guys like Peter Lukat.
Yes.
Bruce Phil.
You've got to get them on
Dave
side.
Wilson. Yes. Some of these big listeners that we have up there. Stephen Heintzey's another. Some of these guys got to give me a little bit of feedback now.
Yeah,
I'm looking for...
Guys, just send it in to him on email because he's...
On what? I do know a couple. Now, I don't know whether I'll pronounce her name properly, but Sue Levere from Tanunda has gone to Anguston. Apparently lives up that way, but has decided she's heading to Anguston this season.
Oh, huge move, Tanunda to Anguston.
Yes, well, it is as far as bowls. Anguston in their new club rooms, I'll quickly mention.
Yes.
Brand new club rooms this year, new greens. Lovely teas on a Friday night. So, yep.
Have they offered us a...
No, but I'm waiting for the offer. Matty Short, if you're listening in, only too happy to come up and do a live
stream
up there.
We could do a live show.
Just for a lovely meal.
Just a three-course meal.
And beer. <Yeah. laughs> quickly, they have lost a couple. Kate Argent-Bowden, who's a pretty good bowler herself, a state bowler. She's gone to Holdfast, and Tony Northcott, he's gone with his nephew to Hawthorn. Maddie Northcott's coaching Hawthorn, so Tony's gone down for a season down to Hawthorn, so I hope he enjoys the drive down south.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I think, Rick, quickly, just in finishing, I think Angerson will still be the side to beat this year, looking on paper.
Given their afternoon teas and meals.
Yes, and their beautiful tea. Did I ever mention their teas on a Friday night?
And the show we're doing up there.
With the free beer.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I think between them and Kapunda, I think will be the sides to beat. Maybe two sides that might just drop away a little bit. Maybe Tanunda have lost a couple, and Brad's being one. I mean, he didn't bowl last year, but I think they were hoping to get him back. And Lindock, I think, have lost a couple players.
Well, let's hope that Tanunda don't drop away as badly as their football team.
They don't get any players driving in just looking at the vineyards on the way in either.
Obviously.
Look, that's about it for this week, Rick, but I will find out, and we're looking for that feedback from those valued listeners.
Absolutely.
That we have.
Absolutely.
So of any ins and outs that we might have.
Actually, come to think of it, good gentlemen, maybe you better send the emails to me because I know how to use them, and then I'll pass them on to Phil.
Via courier. Pigeons.
Pigeons.
Oh, I won't bring up pigeons.
No, don't do that.
Okay, well, let's get on to the footy, mate. Well,
let's stay local and look at the BLNG football grand finals.
Grand final.
Played at the beautiful Lindock Oval.
Looked beautiful. Watched it on live stream, Rick. Wasn't lucky enough to get there because I couldn't be buggered going up there.
It was,
good game, big crowd.
Beautiful setting.
Yes.
Very lovely setting. Huge summer crowd.
Yes.
And the surface was in A1 condition. I mean, you
smaller
can argue.
Smaller ground though, Rick, isn't it?
Well,
a bit smaller. We used to train there.
Well, I've been speaking.
Yes. To
personally
who?
To the president.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Mickey.
Yes.
And he reckons.
Yes. Right.
And he'd know that.
Yep.
The Lindock Oval is basically the same size as Angaston Oval.
Ooh, I wouldn't have thought.
In fact, he suggested that it might be even wider.
Longer, though.
Well, you might stretch it or push it a little bit, but maybe it is about the same size.
Ooh. Yeah, well, Barossa were the best side for the last 5 years as well, he said too, didn't he? And are the best side in the league.
Well...
Did they win the flag? No, that's
we were going to discuss that. But, no, he did concede that Barossa weren't playing in the grand final.
How did he work that out?
With their 80-point flogging the week before.
Very good. We love getting into Mick, don't we?
Yeah. Well, no, he's a good lad. He's all right.
Yeah, great bloke.
Yeah. So, no, he could be... He could be right on the money.
He could be right on the money, but I don't reckon he is. I reckon it'll be a bit shorter.
I mean, I realise that you used to do, in inverted commas, your umpiring training at Lindock Oval.
I know, every pocket, every... Oh,
no, you wouldn't. You wouldn't know anything outside about the rugby square.
Well, I saw the cricket pitch a little bit.
Anyway, let's discuss the finals.
Yes, let's get on to the games. Yes. The under-13 started early in the morning there, Rick, at Sparrows, you know what. Gawler Central and South Gawler, which was an upset.
Yes.
Which was an upset. Gawler Central, 4 goals, 6:30. Gawler South, 4 goals, 4:26. South finishing top, Rick.
Yeah.
We'll mention it later, but Dean Cutting, the coach of South Gawler, unfortunately out with a broken arm for the A grade. But and his side just going down by the mere 2 behind. Yeah. So.
Well, at that level, 2 points, you know, like, someone wins, someone loses.
Yeah, that's right. Under 15s, we've got Williston, 11 goals, 7:73. Defeated Frilling, 7 goals, 4:46. Frilling in the under 15s, being the top side most of the year, if not all the year.
Yeah.
So an upset there too,
Rick. Started with two, you know, minor premiers getting knocked off.
Yep. But that soon finished because, and it wasn't by much, Gawler Central... 8 goals, 6:54. Defeated Williston, 7 goals, 9:51. Gawler Central finishing top.
In the under 17.5.
Yep.
Maybe for your good listeners, you could explain not only to them but me, why do we have the 0.5?
Yeah, don't know.
What?
No. I don't know.
That was the game I reported or chose to report, and very close. Biggest margin during the entire game was 7 points.
Yep.
Could have been either side, but I just felt as though Gawler Central just deserved to win. You know, they had a bit more of the ball.
Rick, we discussed this quickly on the phone yesterday when I rang and said I was coming up today. A lot of SP players in that Williston side, which is special permit. Like Central, been down at Central's most of the year, been at Trinity College, been at their college footies.
Yeah.
They've all come back. Which is a bit sad for the local lads that have... Well, they're local lads. I'm not saying that. I shouldn't have said that. But the lads that have played most of the year...
Well, that, I mean, I agree. Out. And I... Look, sure, everyone loves to win, but...
And you play your best side.
You do. And that's within the rules. All I would say is that I totally agree with you. There seems
Beg
to
your
be...
It's the first time.
Yeah. It seems to me that there's a when that happens, there's a lack of reward for someone who's given their service throughout. And I know we don't see it that way at the time, but guess what? It's football development. Mm. It so happens that they finish the season with a final match.
Yep.
And, you know, let's develop the players rather than you know, no one's going to, with all due respect to the under 17.5s, probably in 6 months' time, no one's going to remember who won it, let alone who won it last year.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And so that's... I think we've put the emphasis in the wrong spot, to be honest.
Look, I can remember it 15 years, probably more than that, that it's always happened that the all sides seem to get a lot of those players back from college, centrals, etc. But that's the way it is, and good luck to it.
And so, therefore, I think it was just that, Gawler Central won.
Well, the next game, Rick, it was a Guernsey swap, I'm sure. Newry Upda, 9 goals, 4, 58, never looked like losing, to Gawler South, who I think only lost one game during the year, 2 goals, 4, 16.
Well, I couldn't believe it. I spent most of the day with my good mate Warren, illustrious Kapunda timekeeper in charge
stroke
of the
scoreboard operator.
Scoreboard operator.
And I reckon it was
electronic scoreboard.
Faultless all day.
It was. He agreed with. I actually said, "Are they wearing different jumpers?"
Yeah.
Because 2 weeks earlier at Newry, South Gawler had absolutely flogged them. And you honestly...
That was one game we sort of wrote down that, well, I don't think Newry are going to get out of that in the grand final.
And yet, grand final day, Newry never looked like
straight
losing.
Straight out the blocks. They had 3 or 4 goals. You know, it was like Carlton. Well, Carlton the other night, but then, I mean, they let it go. But anyway, we'll get on
to
that.
It was an amazing result. Anyway, there you go.
And
upset of the...
Yeah, it was. That was the biggest upset of the grand final.
Yeah.
And South Gawler, which was a pretty good game, as I said, I watched it on the live stream. 14 goals, 10, 94, defeated Newry Upda. 12 goals, 14, 86. Rick, explain a little bit about the game.
Well, first of all, the Prezi.
Yes. Oh.
Mickey.
Back to Mick.
Yeah. Yep. Well, he would have been shocked because he said that South Gawler weren't even going to get to the grand final. However, having
didn't say
said
they weren't going to win it.
Well, Barossa weren't going to win it. But South Gawler went through the minor round unbeaten, got beaten by 1 point. And I think I said this on the show last week or the week before. I had a feeling that Newry might have played their cards a week early because they bottled it up. They didn't let them run. They didn't do anything else. Now, cutting the story very short, they almost succeeded in doing the same thing again, grand final day. But there were just occasions when, as we know, South, with their fitness, their ball handling, and their very quick movement, broke away, and that was the difference between the two. And although you can hardly pick any set occasions, it wasn't until the start of the last quarter that there was any degree of separation. I thought Filkey's two clearances were very, very important very early. And then what's his face?
Barch's goal.
Snap-on goal left from the boundary line. And summing up, I think the right team deserved the flag.
Probably did. They probably did. So, yeah, the best side all year, basically. It have been for 2 years, yep. And probably... Oval, how wet was it?
Well, that's where Newry came unstuck, because...
The bloody sprinklers wouldn't work.
Well, they obviously didn't get the tractor out to break the dam open. Absolutely dry as a bone.
Okay, well, that's it. We've summed up the grand final in the Bross and Light and Gawler. Quickly, Rick... I'll just quickly go. I did last week. Prince Alfred beat Glenunga. Glenunga top all year, basically, in the A1 Amateur League.
Yep.
Prince Alfred got over him at Norwood Oval. And Golden Grove, virtually undefeated. I think may have lost one. They beat Paynham Norwood by about 80 points in the grand final. So they go up. And quickly, I won't go through all of the grades, but Kilburn in the 100 years, Rick, got a lot of players back. And just to name three of our local Bross and Light boys that were playing at Kilburn, Corey Solly, Michael Houston from Williston,
yep.
Kicked a lot of goals, and Ryan O'Keefe, Reese O'Keefe, I think his name is, O'Keefe, all played for Kilburn in the 100 year. Well, they won, they got over the line of Gyps Cross top all year,
all right.
And they got over, yeah, yeah, got over them and won the grand final.
Well, there you go.
In their 100 years, so... Right.
Okay, on to the AFL. Preliminary finals. Magnificent game, I thought, between Collingwood and GWS. Either side was stiff to lose.
Yeah.
There's no doubt Collingwood would have been stiff to lose. GWS, their last 10 minutes, they pulverised the goal area. Magnificent defence from Collingwood. That was as good a game of modern day AFL football that I've seen for a long time.
Okay, very good. And it wasn't a bad game, Carlton and Brisbane game,
yeah,
either, was
yeah.
it? Really?
It well, because game. They started so early, because I was driving.
Caught me out. I was still watching the Bross League game.
Well, there was a
too.
Reason, because they had to play early because the rugby final was on it later in the.
Not only that. Carlton wanted to catch the plane out of Brisbane that night, and if they played any later, they wouldn't have got that last plane
well,
out.
Well, there you go. So, anyway, I was still driving
yes,
in the car back from Lindock, and I couldn't... Carlton are leading 5-0.
I know.
But end of penny
yeah,
section.
Yeah, then it was.
And it's a good... It is a... I mean, it's not good that you start that poorly, but it's a very good sign of Brisbane's, as it were, maturity... That they could just weasel
yeah,
their way back.
Yeah, just
now, you know, you don't quite know how good they are as how much the injuries and tiredness and everything
yep.
else have come. But I expect the grand final to be a absolute ripper.
Should be a beauty.
And I'm actually, I mean, I've always said the top team should go top.
Yep.
But on this occasion, I'm going to pick Brisbane.
I'm tipping Collingwood to win. But I really do want Brisbane to... I'd like to see Brisbane win.
Yeah. I think
Collingwood will win.
Yeah, without trying to drag Port Adelaide back into it, but I think Brisbane are at the point where Port were, who had missed out before they won their premiership, you know, in three or four seasons. And I reckon Brisbane are just about right to do it.
Yep.
But anyway, time will
tell. Time will tell. Quickly, Rick.
Hey, but speaking of the grand final...
Yes.
Did you realise that all the Collingwood supporters are vegetarians?
What?
They're vegetarians.
No.
Yeah. You know why, don't you?
No.
Well, you can't eat meat if you haven't got any teeth. I apologise to all you new time Collingwood supporters, because you're not like that any longer.
Quickly, Rick, the SANFL had a grand final as well. On the Sunday, and Glenelg getting over the line quite comfortably over Sturt in the end. Top side all just about all year, if not all year.
I thought watching the game, I enjoyed watching it. I enjoyed the open spaces of it most of the time.
Yep.
I thought the major difference, stating the very obvious, is that Glenelg kicked goals, Sturt kicked points, and Hosey, I think his name is.
Six goals.
Yeah.
I mean, won the
medal.
But he
kicked two of them in the opening 10 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, a couple of rippers too.
The first one was, anyway, very good.
He can play a bit.
A bit. Now, we are beginning to really run out of time.
We
were
going
to have a major discussion on this, but we won't be able to have time. I cannot believe that there's any discussion over Lachie Neale's Brownlow medal win. and I'm tired already, and it only was announced last night, of experts saying that the umpires got it wrong.
No, there was a couple, apparently there's a couple games that, well, I think one was Horne Francis. I think you got 13 possessions or something one game, and three of the kicks went to opposition, and he got three votes that day or something, and I think there was a couple other games that they couldn't believe. But, I mean, we're not out, I mean, as an umpire, I'm talking, we'll put my umpire's hat on at the minute, you're not out there counting kicks or,
well,
you know.
Look, I agree with you, and I'm not the umpire, but once upon a time, statistics may have meant something. However, today, in modern-day football, where they kick sideways, backwards, handball, receives, and back again, etc., statistics can tell you a thousand things which don't necessarily indicate the influence of a player on the game. And I'll very briefly mention that they're not that far off the mark. All these people with, I'm talking about Lachie Neale having one last night. There's a guy called Jake Michael who works for ESPN. And he's got a system where he allocates not just a 3-2-1, but a 3 or a 2.5 or a 1.5, or you've got the idea. And because his argument is that when you, it's hard to separate players. Now, of the up until last night, of the last nine Brownlow medals, he'd got seven of them right. Now, of last night's result, he didn't get it right, but he did have Bontempelli on 31. He did have Dacos on 30, Petrarca on 30, Zach Butters 29.5, Lachie Neale 29. Now, that's only two off of his winner, and Lachie Neale got 31. So it's all about nothing.
And they said Neale got one game that they were very surprised he got best on ground. But the umpire might have seen it. Now they're even talking the umpire shouldn't do the medal votes. Well, I mean, well, who's going to do them? Joe Blow standing in the bar?
And although you've done it as an umpire, I've been invited to do it for grand finals in the BLNG. It's not easy.
And when you're concentrated on a game all day.
That's right. And the thing is that even amongst people not on the ground, like myself, I think on the few occasions, I don't think on any of those occasions have all of us panel chosen the same player as best on the ground. So,
I've been to a different game, I think, some days when I've seen the best players in the Sunday Mail on the Sunday morning, and I've chosen the best players. I thought, well, I wasn't at that game.
That's right.
But anyway.
Well, until next week when there will be another Lawn Bowl segment with Fabulous Phil.
Yes.
This is Rick.
This is Phil.